Hallelujah. You may be seated. You're welcome. Hallelujah. The week runs so fast. And here we are here again Thursday. And so do we have testimonies? After the marathon we had, 4 days of a strong message from God, I expect that we will have testimonies. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? Okay. Mr. Sajiri, please.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Before the program came, I had some things I had penned down in my heart that I was seriously looking up to God for. Most of them that were okay, there's this particular one that was really there's this physical touch to it, but I just saw the hand of God in such a, you see, God works in mysterious ways. There's this thing he has always done, even in my marriage, the thing that whenever we want something and we want it so badly, so seriously, when we get certain delays, especially when we've prayed about it and we've worked towards it and it's not coming, it just gives a clear indication where his direction is going towards. So, well, I stand here to testify, to thank the name of the Lord, because I had confirmations in my spirit concerning some things that mattered, some things that were giving me concerns. I had serious confirmations, clear-cut confirmations as the word was just going, as the man of God was just preaching and giving messages. I had confirmations on some things I've penned down, and I really want to give God praise, because when God gives confirmations, what it does is that it's like a compass that helps you to know that yes, you are on the right path. I just bless the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So that's a word from God. It changes your life. It brings confirmation of what God has been telling you. Amen. So it's difficult for you to get a message, and that's from God, and you're not able to place yourself in that message. It's going to be very difficult. If you're working with him constantly, there's no time that the word of God comes to you and it's void. There's always a message in it. Amen. Mrs. Sajiri, please.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Prior to the program, I was praying, I think a day or two before that program, and God specifically spoke to me clearly. So I was praying in tongues, but I was interpreting, I was getting the message in simple languages. And so I prayed so hard that night that I didn't even know how that prayer. So I was praying, and I haven't spoken in such tongues before. And the messages were so clear that you are so distracted. You need to focus. You need to, he said you are too distracted. You need to focus more on God. You are too afraid to launch out. Your limitations are based on you. I'm not limited, but your limitations are based on you. So they were just clear messages that I got. And so when Pastor Vijay came, and on the first day, he spoke about, you know, when I've seen the flyer since, my mind didn't even go that the secret place could be, and that. So I didn't even remember the secret. What I just remembered in the flyer was just the halftime anyway. I didn't know that there was anything like the secret place. So when he came, I started talking about the secret place. So when he was explaining the secret place, he quoted Psalm 91. You know, even when I was talking to my husband, when I was getting that message, it was Psalm 91 that was coming to my mind. And so when he talked about Psalm 91, I'm like, oh, Okay. So I was relating it to what God had told me prior to that time, you know, that you need to withdraw yourself from a lot of distractions, the things that are, you're just there, you're not productive, you're just being busy, you're not just listening, you know. And yeah, so one of the messages was also to pay clear attention, to incline ears, you know, to God's word. So it actually came like, they were all confirmation of what God had actually spoken ahead. And so it made me take it more seriously. Praise God.
Hallelujah. So it's what God has started, okay? You have to work hard so that you see the completion. He has completed it, but for you to see it, it is your own beat. Okay, after Bro Collins, then I'll say, so you may come forward, please. You want to talk to you? All right. Actually, when I was coming to service, he just came to me that probably we're all just going to talk about the secret place today. And so everybody now is having a message. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good.
All the time.
Yes, sir. I want to thank God for the program. So for the first day, the man of God was preaching. And there was a prophecy given. And I know directly that prophecy is for me. And at the same time, I was supposed to give this testimony last week Thursday, but something come across. I was very annoyed. So when Settman prayed to me the other, a week before last Sunday, before the program started, even pastor here. So I just have to observe some things before I could give out the testimony finally. So when the man of God preached on that Thursday, so when the prophecy was given out, I said, now so God like me. Now see you, finally. And God have done it to me. Praise the Lord.
I mean, you can tell that God has actually done it. The way he's even vibrating. Amen. But that's the beauty of taking time aside. Okay? In all the hustle and bustle, I mean, we get it every day. Everybody says he has a quiet time, but it's also a way to doing it, not the usual way you do it. Okay? So every time you have, you know, I was listening to Settman's messages on different kinds of prayer. And that's because I was actually preparing it for radio. So I was listening and listening and listening. And it's awesome, the loads that you have in it. You cannot be walking with God and not praying ceaselessly. Okay? You will not miss it. So the moment you don't pray and you are not in tune, okay, there's going to be that distraction Mr. Ajay talked about. There's going to be that lack of concentration, okay, if you are not consistent with it. But that's the beauty of the sacred place. Uncle Kenny. How's the secret boy?
Just
the lead boy.
Amen. I might take a little bit, maybe 2 minutes or thereabout. I want to thank God for the program, actually. Was it Sunday, the last day, when he talked about secret place being that, and he mentioned healings and some stuff. He actually talked about musicians, you know, when he said that if we want to experience an unusual, even when you minister, you want to get the same result when you pray. You know, sometimes to me, I want to say, when they give me songs to score, you know, I believe that the song, I might actually score the song maybe on Saturday because I feel this song, I will score it. You understand? I feel that relaxed that I don't have to do anything. It's just song, I will do it and I will deliver. But it opened my understanding to some things. You know, when we sing, that Sunday, I went back to the video on Facebook and I received healing. Even on Thursday program, I just sang like normal that. But when he opened my understanding to that, I want to be putting it to practice every time. Because, you know, we always, musicians, we always feel we just do the do re mi fa sol and then we are good. But when we put it to God and then we pray more about it and we dwell more in God's presence, it brings about healing even to people. Sometimes we just sing and we just do our own and then we go. We don't know that we are supposed to, you know, impact lives. But I just want to thank God for it. It's a refreshing time for me. Hallelujah.
So that's the catch there. You ought to impact lives. So there is no moment that anything comes out of you that shouldn't have an impact, a positive impact on people. Okay? Even the ones that is regarded as negative in quotes is actually positive. So if you talk to someone and you are leading him on the right path, it's positive. To him, it will be negative if he doesn't have a receptive mind. Okay? But that's how our life is supposed to be. We've said it over and over again. Anytime you have the opportunity to minister to anyone, know that it's a life matter of life and death. Okay? So don't just waste words. Don't waste time. Okay? In any form that you're doing the ministration, with drums, with the keyboard, it's always going to affect somebody. Amen. And be careful how you do it. The Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. Okay. Any other person? Hallelujah. So like the secret place, it was a fantastic meeting. Not because of the euphoria, but because of the presence of God. And as has been said, a lot of confirmation, a lot of the things that God was saying to us, or to me in particular, wherever I was, it was just here, right here, confirmed by the one of God. Amen. And it's important, okay? When we had that halftime 2021, it was to come, you know, and this is what happens in any game. Okay, before the game, the coach has given you instructions. But sometimes, so if the coach plans, okay, let's just use football for instance. This coach is going to plan that I'm going to play against Sajeri Bombers and Drowoju Bombers and Sajeri Bombers. And I know that the Sajeri people, they like running, okay, but they don't like the ball slow. So as the coach of the Drowoju Bombers, I'm going to tell those guys, you need to slow down the tempo. You need to slow down the tempo. It's going to frustrate them. And once they get frustrated, they're going to make mistakes. And it's those mistakes you capitalize on. Or you can take it in the flip side. Oh, they don't like the fast game. They like the slow game. So I'm going to tell them, make it fast. Okay? And then you watch series of videos, looking at, study the team. You sit down with your team, study the team, watch series of videos. And as a coach, you tell them, this is how you're going to take this one out. Okay? So several things like that happens just before a match. Okay? Now that's the way I'm seeing things. Okay? So remember the Israelites said that we're like grasshoppers in their own eyes. So they're the ones that thought that these people are seeing us as grasshoppers. That's not the way the people are seeing them, or the people were seeing them. Okay? Now the same thing will happen with the other team. The Divine Bombers will be like, oh, those guys, they are very fast people. So they want to run. So what we will do is that we'll make them run and get them exhausted. So that will be a plan from that other end. So one man is planning that I'm going to slow them down. One man is planning that I'm going to get them exhausted. And then we get to the field. Okay? And then things change. Because now, probably, so the Divine Bombers will be like, okay, the coach will tell them, you know what, in case you are not able to tire them out, what we do is we give them aerial balls. They are short people. You know, we are not very tall in my family, so they are very short. So we give them aerial balls, and then you try, you know. So it gives like three different tactics to his team against the other team. And so when we get to the field, and we look at them and say, ah, no, we are expecting to slow them down when they are running. Now they are throwing aerial balls. Then there's confusion. It happens. Then there's confusion. What do we do? What do we do? And then everybody is distracted. They forget all the instruction of the coach. And then the man is standing by the sideline, okay, throwing his water bottle on the floor, frustration, and he's just banging everywhere. And you're like, it's just waiting for the referee to blow the halftime whistle. And what happens at halftime? He has seen all the loopholes. And then he goes back and tells his boys, you know what? You can do this thing. Okay, all you need to do is follow the instruction I've given you to take care of the area balls. Keep the ball away from them. You guys are short. Keep the ball away from them as much as possible. Dribble and make sure that your short passes are short. He gives them all those tactics. He says, but you know what? There's no difference between this. It's the same thing that we've always known, okay? So do not get distracted by their new tactics. And then the players are gingered, okay? And then they come back to the field. And everybody says, oh, the game has changed. Oh, these people have woken up, okay? But the truth of the matter is that they already had it in them. They only needed someone to unlock it, okay? I mean, it's 11 players on both sides, okay? And everybody had to ask you. So sometimes we get surprised an unknown team beats a known team. Why? Because the unknown team is more disciplined and doesn't take anything for granted. So you don't get too used to the word of God. So too used to it to that, you say, I know it now, Abba. See, that's what he says. Say, these children, the Hebrew women, they give birth like, you give birth like Hebrew women. How do they, without pain, and then there's problem. Because you have gotten too used to that word of God. Or you say that God told, who sent worshippers before the army? Jehoshaphat. He sent. But God did not tell him to send the worshippers. People say, God told him to send it. No. God didn't tell him. Okay? It was of his own that let's sing the praise. God said he would do it. And for the Hebrew women, that wasn't happened. What happened was that they wanted to kill, there was instruction to kill the newborn ones, and they were afraid to carry out the instruction of the king. And so when they know that the Hebrew woman is about to give birth, the midwives will quickly take delivery of the baby. And when those ones come looking that to kill the baby, they say, they don't even need our help, or they just give birth and we don't know. Okay? So you don't get too used to the word of God. You go back to that word and you search it out. So halftime 2021 was supposed to get us into that point where you say, sometimes you don't know you are distracted. Okay? Sometimes you don't know you are distracted. You just, you're driving and you think you have all the signals right, but something is missing. And so 2021 halftime is something that we have in our hands and we ought to carry on with it. Amen. And in carrying on with it is that it has to be a progression. Okay? It has to keep getting better and better at the way we administer God's word. Hallelujah. Oftentimes what we do is that everything we do or ask for is about ourselves. Amen. But look at it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Okay? So he gave his son. Not that his son will come and live a life that will glorify him only. Amen. His son will come and then he will be a channel to other people to be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. So your life is more than you. So it's a lot more than I need clothing, I need food. Amen. Hallelujah. Is you are in that place to meet some other person's need. You say, I don't have the resources. No. It depends on what you term as resources. Hallelujah. Some only resource some people know is just money. I don't have the money. So I cannot meet anybody's need. But imagine, when we were erecting this building, okay, we had people come in to help us. Members of the assembly, they came in to help. And there was that strong boy, that strong man, Stephen. He was carrying cement and pushing wheelbarrow as if he was pushing a pram. The wheelbarrow that means if I carry, I'll push. I'll be like, I cannot push this. He will carry... push and in the twinkle of an eye is done. That's a resource. He knew within him that he has the capacity. So he said, no, don't worry, I'll do this. I've seen him carry those bags and he just throws them up, the bag of cement. And you're like, oh my God, where's this strength coming from? But that's a resource. So for him, imagine for him thinking that I cannot be useful to anybody. But he didn't think like that. Okay, his thought was that I have this, I can be useful. So life is not about money. So when we are in our secret place, all we need to do is listen to those instructions. Because God is going to speak any way and anyhow. It's for us to be able to understand the way he's speaking to us. Amen. Because he can't be in his presence and live the same way. Okay, Psalm 91, that was the most popular scripture last year. This year now, the scripture has gone, everybody has put it aside. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, he says you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And the set man said rightly that there's a shadow because there's an object. So if you say you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty, that's because the presence of the Almighty himself is in that vicinity. That's how he can cast shadow on you. Amen. Do you understand? So you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You are in the very before of the Most High. Okay? That's the secret place. And so everything about him comes to bear in a secret place. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you come to where I live, for instance, okay, you get to see everything and everything that this man does. Even if you don't see it, you will perceive it. Whether he's shouting or he's always singing, you will know that when he's at home, this is how he's doing. So he says, you will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. And so in that secret place, you are able to understand him. Okay? You are able to get instructions from him, even by just observing. So that flyer was very technical. I had to ask them, how did you come about? What's this flyer about? So actually, there's a girl or a boy that was in a cave, and then the ray of light was coming. I wish I could project it. If you look at that flyer, again, it was like somebody that was hiding in a cave, and then he could see through a hole in that cave, in the secret place. That's how it is. But then, in the secret place of the Most High, he's going to be resting. Hallelujah. He's going to be gleaning from the Most High himself. Hallelujah. You're wondering that, am I correct? I think I'm right. Am I? Abby? Am I right? Yeah, so if you look at it very well, on the right side, and he's looking through. Okay, so you are seeing the Almighty. I mean, it's just like I'm in my house, somebody is peeping through the door, and is listening or looking at whatever I'm doing. And he's going to say, oh, this is what he's doing. Exactly, that's what it is. So in that secret place, abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's because the Almighty is there. So you cannot leave that place empty-handed. You should not leave that place empty-handed. So that's about, and that's another thing about meetings. Meetings are not meant for us to be like, I was there. Meetings are meant for us to be an effulgence of God's glory. Hallelujah. To be able to take up our mantle and say, you know what? I know that from the word go, this is what God has called me to. Hallelujah. And from this meeting, I'm taking up my mantle and living the life I'm expected to live. Amen. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12, I read from verse 3. The book of Romans, chapter 12. In my Bible, it is subtitled Serve God with Spiritual Gifts. Okay? So whatever you get from the secret place, yes, some of it is for you to run and run your own race. Hallelujah. Amen. But you will find out that most of it in running your own race helps other people to run their race. Hallelujah. Amen. So like he was saying that day, that for on Sunday when he was talking about how he got his Bibles. Hallelujah. Amen. You say lazy me. I say, I'm glad I gave him that Bible. Because you know when I was going to get married, I've said it over and over again. October before the January, I sent mail to my brother. You send me my suits and the ties, okay? And then he said he'll get here in October. And I didn't get those things in October. November came, I didn't get them. And then December, I was beginning to fret because I had only 3 weeks to go. And it was holiday period. I mean, post office, everything would be crowded. People sending things down, and you know. And then I don't even know what I was doing. Maybe I was in Ibadan or something, I can't remember. Pastor Joseph sent me a message and said, you cannot be stranded. You shall not be stranded. He didn't know that I was waiting for the suit to. He just said, you shall not be stranded. It was a word from God. And I looked at it and I picked it and I said, I'm never going to be stranded. And I left it. And I said, okay, God, you're going to deal with every other person that is supposed to understand that I'm not supposed to get stranded so that they won't ask me questions. And the first person he dealt with was my wife. She didn't ask me that. He just said, how about your suit? I said, he's on his way. He said, how about your suit? He's on his way. And that's what I told her. She didn't even know that the suit was not in my hand. And after she didn't even bother to ask me again. She said, okay, that one is sorted, blah, blah, blah. And then the suit came the Friday night before the wedding. Hallelujah. We were doing rehearsal. You know, you go to church for rehearsal. How you are going to stand before the priest. How you are going to bow, you know. What you are going to say. And I was like, all these people are doing. There's no suit too. And it was 4 p.m. 4 p.m. And I kept everybody on red alert. You know what red alert is? Now, in case you hear DHL in the office, because I gave them my office address, in case they appear, bam, even if they are not coming for me, just call me. So when my phone rang and it was the security man at the office, the phone number, I knew that this is it. So immediately said, DHL is here. I said, you know what? Let me speak to the guy. I told the guy, you know, just deliver to whoever you see. Don't tell me you're taking it back because I need it. All the groomsmen, all their shirts, everything was inside. And the way God works. When everybody got his shirt, it fit perfectly. Hallelujah. Even the suit. If I carry that suit today, you won't know that your suit of 20, how many years? 15 years. It fit me. But that's it. He said, you will not be stranded. Okay? But that's a life that was yielding to God. So if it was about his life alone, he wouldn't have been able to tell me, you will not be stranded. And I would not have been in a place of comfort. Amen. I would have just been up, and the only thing I did was that, okay, I kept just enough to go to the shop Saturday morning by 9 a.m. and get myself a suit locally. But I was like, this is the last money on me. It was 80,000 naira to buy 2 suits then. So this is the last money on me. So if I'm going to have to buy these suits, it's going to be difficult. So I waited till the last minute, and then God showed up. So it became manifest physically. So in Romans chapter 12, from verse 3, it says, For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have, many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. But I want you to look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Hallelujah. He says that, so Mr. Sajere is a member of my body. That's what it means. It says individually members of one another. So though we are many, okay, individually, collectively, we are members of one another. Hallelujah. So some people only identify with their immediate family. And say, me, myself, and my family. Some people have family, they only identify with themselves, me, myself, and I. But the Bible is telling you right now that everything, because though we are many, we are one body. And then he says individually we are members of one. So it is impossible for you to be in that secret place and all you ever get are instructions only for yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. Are instructions only that you suit yourself, or are instructions only for you to use for yourself? He says we are members of one another. Amen. So if I'm in a secret place, I ought to be able to get instructions for you to use. Hallelujah. Amen. I ought to be able to get pointers. He says here, he says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Amen. Hallelujah. So we will have different gifts. All of us will not be able to sing. So when you laugh at me and say that I miss my key, I have the Bible to support me. All of us will not have the same gift. Hallelujah. Amen. So Kenny may be able to pick the F sharp. I may turn F sharp to D sharp. Hallelujah. But it is his own responsibility to keep that F sharp as F sharp. Why? That's his gift. Amen. Hallelujah. Honestly, and that's the truth of the matter. That's what the Bible is saying. And it says that having their gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So our gifts, okay, are different, and they are by grace. We will not all have the same gift. That's why someone will have the gift of keeping things in order. Hallelujah. And that's how we have different teams. Amen. But the man that has it, that is in the ushering team, will not say, I'm just supposed to arrange. And that's all. There's a story about, I think, the scientific center, NASA, that there was a cleaner. And all the cleaner does, what does he do? The janitor, he cleans. Okay? But when you ask the cleaner, what does he do? He says, I help men to get to space. Why? Because what they do in totality is to take, is go to explore space. Okay? So the cleaner understands that him doing his janitorial duties well will help those people doing the research to do it well. Hallelujah. So imagine that they enter the office and everything is upside down, or they sleep on the floor, break a bone, they'll be in the hospital. That's somebody that understands that they are members of one another. So that's how we ought to see ourselves in the place, in God's scheme of things. Okay? That's how we ought to see ourselves. So when we see that, oh yes, we are distracted, then you begin to see this talent or this gift that has been given to me by grace, how have I been making use of it? When Kenny was giving his testimony, he said that it affects lives. Okay? This is how it affects lives. Because you are a member of one another. So when I went to serve, I had a problem. We had an accident, and then I developed a problem with my neck. Okay, and then I go to the hospital, they say it's cervical spondylosis. And they say the bone is chipped, so it's like the bone is aged. So like that bone is like the bone of, I was just how old, 20 or 25. They say this bone looks like the bone of an 80-year-old that is there. So, and then it's sitting on the nerve, but it's here, on the neck. But I couldn't use this hand. You understand? I couldn't. If I wanted to slap you, I would not be able to slap you. And so when I beat my children, I use the left hand. Because I know there's no power in there's no power in it. It's not as strong as the right hand. Amen. But that's being member of one another. The problem was here. But here, up to the fact that sometimes wearing my wedding ring was a problem. So I had to take it off to ease the pressure. The pressure coming from here on this hand. And then, because there was a problem on this hand, I had to let go of the game of tennis or anything that had to do with swinging. You understand? Member of one another. Okay? Hallelujah. So it takes maturity that we don't get distracted when the people in the choir do not sing well. But they should know that this is it. That every gift is given to us by grace so that we all use as members of one another. Hallelujah. So you do not take it that You know, some people have tenacity for, we all have different levels of tenacity, but some have for the tolerance for some things more than the others. Okay, it's all grace. Hallelujah. It says, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Hallelujah. Amen. Ministering, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. Okay, so the gift you have, use it in your sphere of, in your own space, but know that your space is affecting somebody else's space. Amen. So coming out of those 4 days of the secret place is for you to understand that space you are in, okay, is interlopes or it has intersection and it is interwoven with every other person's space. Amen. So it will be out of place for you to sit down and be criticizing the person next to you. You are criticizing yourself. Hallelujah. Amen. It's out of space. That something is wrong, you think something is wrong, and the best you can do is to criticize. Then you are criticizing yourself. But if you do it in such a way to correct, then you are getting yourself in the right frame. Hallelujah. And it says, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. Hallelujah. So, the gift we have, okay, we use the gift we have to serve God, and our gifts are given to us in such a manner that it forms a whole picture before God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It forms a whole picture before God. Please shut down the monitor. It forms a whole picture before God. And so when one of us is out, and that's why in that parable of the lost coin or the lost sheep should be forever before you. If one person is lost, then we ought to look for him. Why? Because that picture is no longer complete. Okay? That picture is no longer complete because of that missing link. But you that are in the secret place, getting instructions, you get instructions to pull everybody back into the fold. Okay? So the people you come across, you meet on a daily basis, that gift you have on the inside of you, use it, hallelujah, to be able to get everybody in, back to shape, so that picture will be complete, and that hole that we say is hole is no longer fractured. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible also talks about, in that same Romans chapter 12, it also talks about the fact that it says in verse 3, For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay? So the thing we ought to note is that faith and grace is given to every man. Okay? Faith and grace is given to every man. The grace is emphasized in verse 6, and the faith is emphasized in verse 3. Amen. But your faith needs to be nurtured. Okay? You need to take care of it, you need to feed it, and you need to protect it. Hallelujah. Which is why when we gather, we get instructions. You are feeding your faith. So you don't come before God and you be like, oh, these things I've heard before. You don't come before him and say, oh, I understand these things. Because that's not the way faith works. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So if you do not nurture it, there's every possibility that it will die out. Hallelujah. So you hear it today, you hear it tomorrow, you keep hearing it on a constant basis, and then it grows. Hallelujah. Amen. Colossians 2, from verse 6, it says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians chapter 2, from verse 6. It says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Hallelujah. As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So every teaching that comes your way, okay, at the point you are hearing it, and at every time you make a reference to it, there is a word in it for you. He says that you will be established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. So you cannot, faith and grace, they work hand in hand, and the teachings you hear are to help you grow and nurture your faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And so when we see the picture, you know, I just made reference to this parable of the lost coin or the lost sheep. When you see that picture, this is what Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 is saying. It says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Okay? We are to grow up in all aspects. In all aspects. So you cannot say that. So what it means that you have to be a total child in Christ. Amen. You have to be a total being, well-rounded, in all aspects. So all means all. So you cannot be growing and say that, oh, I have anger issues. Okay? You can't be growing and say, oh, I'm still dealing. You are growing, and you are growing in all aspects. You are moving on to maturity. Okay? He says, growing in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. And don't forget, we imitate him that we see. Okay? So it's our standard. So it's what we see him do that we do. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you are in the secret place, it's what you see him do that you imbibe. Amen. And once you imbibe it, it's going to spread, because we are members of one another. And that's why he said you have to speak the truth in love, and we are to grow in all aspects into him. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 6, as I round up. I read from verse 9. Hebrews 6 from verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Okay? And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, you do not become sluggish, verse 12, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. So the mention of patience tells you that things may not come with your timing. Hallelujah. Tells you that things may not happen as at the time you expect them to happen, but your faith will keep you in line till you see them come to happen. Amen. But it says, you do not become sluggish. So you can also look at it that you do not become distracted. Hallelujah. Because when you become sluggish, you are going to be dragging your feet, and you're going to be like, is this thing ever going to happen? Because it talks about faith and patience, waiting for it. Amen. So when you are not sluggish, okay, you are still active, working actively in faith and pursuing that which you know you ought to pursue. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So in Acts chapter 28, it talks about the Bereans, okay? And the Bible says that Verse 24, it says, and some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul has spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, go unto these people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of these people is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest they should see their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. And it's in Acts 17, verse 10, it says, Acts 17 and verse 10. It says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. They were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. Hallelujah. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word that was being preached, okay, he said those in Berea, they received the word with all readiness, okay, and searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were so. Okay. Therefore, many of them believed. Hallelujah. So it's your responsibility. Because if you are going to nurture your faith, the words you hear, those things that you are being taught, okay, the words you hear, you need to search the scriptures very well for them. And then you grow in maturity. Hallelujah. Amen. So these are positive characters that marks response to the gospel. Searching out that the things that have been said are exactly as they are said. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not enough for you to be in the program. It's not enough for you to hear. You need to go back, listen again, search the scriptures, and in so doing, you will be in that secret place, and you'll be able to get more from God. The Lord bless you indeed in Jesus' name. Let's rise on our feet. So the practice is a model for us to grow spiritually daily. Hallelujah. Amen. But don't forget that when we are together, members of one another, very important. So your being receptive to the word of God cannot be for your use alone. Amen. It is for you to grow spiritually, and it's for that full picture, the full picture of one body to be complete. And Lord, we bless you in Jesus' name. Let us thank him and give him praise. Thank him for your word. Thank him that indeed he will receive with thanksgiving. And as we go, we willingly will search the scriptures and make good use of the word of God. Father, we give you all the glory and all the praise. Let your name be exalted, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's begin to package our offerings.